Okay, hey guys, little intro to this episode. I just finished recording it not 7 hours ago, and just a little preface. It's a little bit different than most episodes. It's a little bit more in-depth into one specific concept. Usually I say I'm going to do that, and then I go into different sub-concepts nearby it, but I mostly talk about the same sort of perspective throughout the episode. I do use a little slightly stronger language because I'm around a friend who I usually use stronger language with. So if you don't like that and you want to sever all ties with me because of said strong language, then feel free to not listen to this episode, as well as anyone who doesn't want to, who feels confident in their political opinions and doesn't want to hear the political interpretations of a 18-year-old. Person with no unique perspective. Cheers. Enjoy the episode.
All right. Hi, everybody. This episode is featuring Sean Luke. What's up, dude?
How you doing?
That's Sean Luke.
Hey, baby.
Interesting. Okay. They've never been referred to as baby before, so this is a new experience for them for sure.
Yeah, I listen too, so I guess I'm calling myself baby.
Wow. You are calling yourself. You're going to listen to this one after.
Oh, heck yeah. No one talks about it all the time at school. It's a pleasure. Really?
Okay. Yeah. So if you're going to listen to this one after, then I guess you are calling yourself baby. Good work.
I love this podcast already.
But today is going to be an interesting episode. I haven't really gotten too far into politics or talking about, controversial stuff. And this isn't going to be a controversial episode per se, but, it's the first time I'm sort of getting into those waters, and I used to be, nervous to do it, but now I don't really care, because if you disagree with me, you can just be like, I don't care, he's an 18-year-old kid. And I agree with you on that. That's if you disagree with me on any of these things, and you're thinking that's a bad take, that's probably why. It's probably because I'm an 18-year-old little idiot boy. But anyways,
but people want to hear it,
Yeah, no,
people,
yeah,
people sure. are always going to want to know what the generations and the younger people
no,
have to
yeah,
say.
No, yeah, obviously. Anyone listening to this is choosing to. But that's just a little preface. So today, what started it with my sort of thought process was I saw a "Don't Tread on Me" bumper sticker on a car, which I've seen. I've seen
"Don't Tread on Me"?
Yeah. So it's a
I'm not familiar.
Yeah. So it's a Ben Franklin, right when we were starting to form America, and it was the revolution was happening. Stuff like that was happening. Ben Franklin distributed this political drawing of a snake with different segments that represented each state, and underneath it said "Don't tread on me," right? And so his purpose with that was not to say. Well, I'll get to what it's not saying later, but his original purpose for that political drawing was to say, listen, we want to be a nation, right? We want to be a strong, good nation. We can't be splitting up into different factions, into different states and stuff like that, and still be a good, strong, united nation. We need to keep the unity between the states, right?
Oh, so diversity was good. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Well, not necessarily diversity. That wasn't really addressed in it. But in a sense, he's talking about how
we can still be different and also be a country at the same time.
Well, he was just saying it's crazy. It's really, really important for, the people from different states. Because at that point, the United States hadn't been formed and there wasn't quite as strong of a federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, guys. Sorry about that interruption. My dad called me and so my phone decided to automatically stop recording, even though I probably wasn't going to answer it at that point, but then it stopped recording, so I did.
Pain.
But anyways, so we were talking about the political drawing. But anyways, the point of that political drawing was to say, as a nation, if we want to stay strong, right, and we want to be able to stay as a nation for as long as possible, us as states need to be working together. We're going to have differences as states. We're going to have different types of people who want different types of things in our states, but as a nation, it's important that we stick together, right?
For sure.
It's important that we live by the same basic ideals and principles in politically speaking,
Yeah, because if it wasn't, it'd be like a whole dictatorship. Like,
right,
we're all trying
right.
to do the same thing, have those same requirements. You don't want that. That's just
right. And then the states governments would have too much power, and then people dictatorships could happen. You know what I mean? If individuals in the state power have a bunch of power. But regardless, it's sort of been twisted to sort of, not twisted necessarily, reinterpreted to sort of mean, just don't limit my freedoms. That's what the new meaning is for most people that are using it and putting up flags and stuff.
And that was the Abraham Lincoln's, on that car you saw, what was it called again? Don't tread on me.
It was Ben Franklin's. And so, but Ben Franklin's original intention was not about liberty. It was not about freedoms. It was about unity.
Right.
And so I think that was sort of my first, the trigger that started making me think about this type of stuff. And I sort of realized that there are a couple, at least from my perspective, misconceptions in people's minds about how freedom works in America.
Yeah.
And about what the freedom that, you know, the Constitution, you know, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, what that entails in terms of our lives, right? And so I think that freedom is a very, very general term. And parts of it, I think most of freedom is a social construct. And most things are social constructs. There are things that would be true without us here, but I think freedom would not be. You know, without society, there would be no such thing as freedom just because, you know, that's all there is. Society is the collective people working together and living and doing stuff together. That's what allows freedoms to be taken away. If you're not doing that, there's no freedom. Would not come up. You know what I mean? Nobody would think about freedom if you're living on your own.
Right.
Right. But since we're living in this society, and since, you know, we're starting to live in and develop societies, freedoms is a thing that comes up. I don't think freedom is a virtue. I don't think freedom is a moral. I think freedom is a reaction to some of the tendencies that people have to try to control other people. So the emphasis on freedom in America at the beginning was because that was what was happening, right? With Great Britain, you know, they at the time were limiting our market freedoms in terms of our colonies, because, you know, we wanted to, the colonies wanted to, you know, make the money off of it, and they wanted to use, they wanted to have their own freedoms, right? And Britain was just using the colonies as a place to make goods to sell other places.
They had that ability, yeah.
Right, and so they were just doing that, and so the colonies of America had no market freedom, and I think that that was one of the most important things. And they didn't have very many personal freedoms either. There's a difference between, I'll get to that later, actually. But anyways, so yeah, I think that freedom, understanding the context in which the freedom that was put into the Constitution, that the freedoms that they were talking about, understanding the context of what was going on, right?
Right.
Right then, they were talking about how the country, thousands of miles away, was restricting their ability to sell and to live the way they want to live, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that is the context of the freedoms that are included in the Constitution.
Okay.
Right? That's what, at least the beginning of the Constitution, the ones that were the amendments that were created back then were in that context, right?
Okay.
And I think that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which is Thomas Jefferson said that. That is one of those three basic things are the ideals that America has been living by since the beginning. And I think that those sort of three ideals have been the main reason why the Constitution was such a big document. The Constitution, some people would call it the most important human document in history besides like the Bible or something, right?
Right.
Because and what I've realized is that it's the first one where obviously market freedoms and stuff like that, like the market and who is in control of the market, that was a thing. Those discussions were going on for thousands of years, right?
Mm.
Not necessarily thousands of years, but they've been going on for a while. America's not the first country to do that,
right?
But they're the first country to, in their formation, to sort of include this personal freedom aspect, right?
Mm-hmm.
This freedom of you have the liberty, which is different than freedom. Liberty is different than pure freedom, right?
What do you mean? How do you define liberty?
Well, freedom. Liberty would be, because whenever we talk about liberty, we talk about liberty and justice for all, right? Mm-hmm. Direct quote from the Pledge of Allegiance. So liberty would not mean that, you know, you have no rules to follow, right? Liberty does not mean that. Because I have, we have rules to follow. We're going to have rules to follow. Rules are going to keep on changing, and we're going to have to keep on following new rules and adjusting to new rules for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
And that's just a part of life, you know what I mean? It's not like an automatically bad thing. It's just a part of the shift in the nature of life, is that
right.
Rules are going to change for us, whether it's, you know, how we're working, how our family structures, or politically speaking and government speaking, like we're going to have those rules. But understanding that the only one of the problems that I've seen a lot of people have, a lot of the people that I've talked to, is the sort of when they talk about freedom. Freedom is not a very strictly defined term, at least in the terms of American politics. It's not a strictly defined term.
I agree with that, yeah.
And so I think that it's important to, for the sake of any conversation that you're having, define it. Define what you're saying when you mean freedom, right? Because mm-hmm. you can mean, people talk about freedom all the fucking, shoot, I'm not supposed to swear in this podcast. It's okay, I'll make it explicit. I'll mark it as explicit. But anyways, they talk about freedoms all the time. And you know, it's a really important thing, and freedoms have been an important concept in American history for a while.
So how would you define it then?
It depends on the conversation. I think that this conversation is not like a political conversation about a specific issue.
Okay.
So I think I would choose to give a specific definition if I was talking about an issue. Okay. The three basic ones that at least pertain to America and the country of America that I could sort of think about when I was preparing for this podcast are market freedom, personal freedoms, and political freedoms, right? Those are most of the freedoms that the American government and the America as a country, those are most of the freedoms that the American government can have any influence on.
Right.
Right. They're not going to... There are tons of other types of freedoms and other aspects of freedom. But those are the three types that are really the most important, because, you know, we're never going to be 100% free regardless because of the rules that we have, right?
Yeah.
So understanding those different types of freedoms in America are important. So I think that one issue that I tend to see is people tend to sort of tie in market and political freedoms, which are important to look at. You know what I mean? They're an important aspect of American life,
mm-hmm.
market and political freedoms. But I wouldn't argue political freedoms can sort of tie into personal freedoms eventually, you know, when the political freedoms, or if your political freedoms are being restricted, that can limit your ability to make the necessary changes to help you have your personal freedoms, right?
Okay, yeah, so you can have one without the other. Yeah.
Right, right. So if your personal freedoms are being restricted, which they're not everyone's personal freedoms are being restricted, and that's sort of the goal of America from the very beginning has been, we're not going to limit your personal freedoms, right?
Right.
You as a person get to live in this country and get to try to be the person that you want to be. Right. You get to live as that person. We're not going to restrict that. We're not going to restrict your religion. You know, we're not going to restrict your speech. We're not going to, those types of stuff. Those are the types of stuff that are implying this emphasis on personal freedoms of you get to be who you want to be in this country. Right.
Right.
We're not going to, you know, hold you back from that. And that, that sort of personal freedom is what is an important aspect to understand when we talk about the pursuit of happiness, right? The pursuit of happiness is sort of the, you know, you got life, you got liberty, and then the pursuit of happiness is in a whole different realm in terms of...
whole different ballgame.
Yeah, and it's you know, my perspective on the pursuit of happiness is not... It's your ability to... Yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory, actually, in terms of this conversation. I expected to have to explain it a little bit more, but really, your ability...
speaks for itself.
Yeah, your ability to pursue happiness is, you know, all you can ask for in life, right? That's the whole That's most people's goal in life is to pursue happiness. Most things people do, they're pursuing happiness, right? And I think that understanding that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, those are the ideals that we live by, right?
Right.
Understanding that liberty is different than freedom, and restrictions on freedoms that are outside of your personal freedoms. Restrictions on personal freedoms are likely going to restrict your ability to pursue happiness, right?
Yeah.
As a rule, I can say that restrictions on your personal freedoms are likely going to restrict your ability to pursue happiness just because it's restricting who you are as a person, right?
No, yeah.
So, but I think for me personally, in my experience, and, you know, from the experience that I've seen of my parents and the families that I've grown up with and the adults that I've grown up around, most of the market freedoms, specifically, most of them are not going to significantly decrease. Or if restrictions of market freedoms, which happen, you know what I mean, they happen in America, and we need them to not have another Gilded Age. The Gilded Age is where, I forget when the time period was, but it was basically a time era where we had these crazy rich people. And what gilded means it's something that's not gold, that it's covered by gold,
but so it looks like gold. Yeah. Right. So it's fake, pretty much.
It's fake. And so it was called the Gilded Age because we had all these rich people who were sort of representing America as a country, and they were living, you know, wealthy, well-off lives. But in the actual country, that wasn't happening, you know what I mean?
There was people
were struggling, right? And so that was why it was called the Gilded Age, and that was why that, you know, piece of American history is proof at why we need, the government needs to be allowed to restrict some market freedoms.
Yeah, and not
restricting them, but like...
But that's an issue.
Yeah.
That people get very touchy on is like how much the government takes and can also, you know, give away.
Right, right. But understanding that the power that the American government has over the market, the reason why they have that power is to avoid Gilded Ages like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's to avoid,
which is proof that like too much can like lead to that.
Right, right, exactly. And so that's why complete freedom of the market is not and has never really been a part of the American institution. That has never really been what they've emphasized.
Right.
They've never said we're not gonna, you know, we are a capitalist country, and so that's important to understand, but that's never really been an American ideal, is market freedom. Being able to sell or buy whatever you want. That's never been a part of the American ideal.
It's almost made America in a way, you know, because we're a little different.
Right, right. But that's the institution, which is the foundation of America, I would say, was, you know, is important to the world as a whole much more than the rest of America is, right?
Right.
America's an important country, but most of its influence, I would say, comes from how it influenced other countries to establish themselves, right?
Mm.
And so I think that understanding that, you know, market free, the restrictions that the governments are able to put on the market, they fall well within those three ideals of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, right?
Right.
They're not going outside of those. For most of the market restrictions, they're not going outside of those, right? They're staying within those ideals. They're maintaining those ideals, and they're allowing people to maintain those ideals for the most part, through their market restrictions, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that understanding that a market restriction, say I was a gun owner, right?
Okay.
And after another school shooting, they increased taxes on ammo or something like that.
Yeah.
I might interpret that as the government saying, you don't get to live the way you want to.
Yeah.
But that's not true. You know what I mean? If I wanted to, in a free market, if I needed more money to go, and I wanted to spend more money on ammo, and I didn't want to buy less ammo with a tax, I should work harder to be able to get the ammo. Like, that's a thing that is, you know, that's a sort of perspective that is heard a lot. Like, in this country, it's your job to work hard to be able to get things. That's a perspective that is talked about a lot, like because of the freedom of the yeah, country, which makes it
achievable,
right, for a lot of people. And you know, it's not a perfect. We it's definitely not achievable.
It's not. It just seems to be a little bit more of like it helps you more grow as a person. On the other side of it, which would be like, you know, letting the government not tax you, actually making it cheaper, almost getting a sense where it's going to give you things just on a platter, in which a lot of people see as like, what's the point if somebody else did the opposite? So I think the U.S. and what you're saying, right, is that we all just want to grow as a whole country in itself, like push our people instead of like baby in a sense.
I think sort of just, well, understanding that, first off, I want to correct what I said in the past. I didn't get to fully finish it. There are people who don't have the opportunities that other people do, right? That's a fact. There are people who have less opportunities and have less ability to pursue happiness because of that. That is a fact. That's a problem that America has been dealing with since the beginning. It's not America's fault that happens. You know what I mean? I'm not blaming. That happens everywhere, right?
We can only do so much.
We're not. You know what I mean? And I mean, we are, but we're. It's less about blaming, and it's more about. What can we finish? You know what I mean? How can we fix this? It's not America's job to create situations, right?
No.
It's America's job to respond to them and to fix them when problems arise.
Or at least try their best.
And that's all we can do. But anyways, back to the ammo thing. Like if you're able to afford ammo right now, right? And they increase the tax. If you want to buy, maybe you disagree with that, but that's not taking away from your personal freedoms.
You may think it is
because of your.
But it's still there.
It's still your personal freedoms are still there. Because of your conceptualization of freedom, you might think that them restricting your ability to buy as much ammo as you want because of the tax is restricting your personal freedom, but it's not.
And that is like disappointing in that moment, but like on a broader scale, unless it's happening on such a reoccurring basis, which I imagine maybe some things are, like you getting taxed and taxed and taxed, like
you know,
how bad gas has gone up since it was, you know, 40 years ago to now. I mean, you can see that's inflation as well. But aside from that, I get what you're saying is it doesn't take away from their pursuit of happiness, even though they may have to work harder in theory.
It doesn't take away from their life, their liberty, or their pursuit of happiness, right? Some people might argue that it's taking away from their liberty to buy ammo. Mm-hmm. But there's freedom to buy ammo and liberty to buy ammo. Liberty is not necessarily meaning you can do what you want. Liberty and justice are go hand in hand because liberty is the government fulfilling justice in giving the people the freedoms that they need and should have.
Yeah. Right?
Maintaining.
To feel safe and comfortable.
Right. Safe and comfortable and, you know, are able to live their lives. That life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Safe, comfort, ability to live your life.
Right.
That's what those really entail. And none of those three, in this case, and I'm taking this example pretty far out, but no, I don't really care about the ammo tax. This is just an example.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's not restricting any of your life, liberty, or pursuit of happiness. A raised tax on ammo is not an un-American thing.
No,
it's well within the American Constitution and within the American power. Within the power that America has.
But if it was like another example of making it possibly different extreme and how it could affect possibly your pursuit of happiness, it'd be like something you need. Let's say like food.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. Or
like that is a little bit more interesting because obviously you need that to live, but if food's going to continue to go up in taxes and you're not paying as much as you need beforehand,
right.
I can see where it'd be a different type of, that could affect your pursuit of happiness.
But the thing
ammo,
is... Ammo, which like is like in the conversations because of, you know, the shootings that have been happening recently. One happened in Michigan recently. More and more conversations have been happening, and so conversations like the ammo one and rule changes similar to that are happening right now. You know what I mean? And there are discussions about that are happening.
And that makes sense.
It makes sense, right? And understanding that. Though you might disagree, you're allowed to disagree with politicians. Mm-hmm. I encourage you to disagree with politicians.
Then don't make it easy for them.
Don't make it easy for them, okay? I encourage you to disagree with politicians. But once a law is passed, you know what I mean? And when the law is in the process of being passed, your job as a citizen is not to stop that law from being passed if you disagree with it. That is not your job as a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Your job as a citizen is to keep on living. You know what I mean? It's, if you feel like your life is worse enough after the ammo tax, your life has gone downhill so far because of that ammo tax, and it doesn't have to go down so far, you know, but if you feel like your life is genuinely worse because of that law, and you feel like a lot of other people will agree, then sure, protest it, you know, start a movement, you know, or try to make changes using your political powers. That's why we have political powers, but...
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it could be a good idea. You should fight for what you want. But I don't know if it's necessary. Like, it always could be, like, portrayed in the wrong way. To always fight against, like, what you're not... You know, always fight against what you don't believe in or what you don't want.
Right, and that's what I'm saying is, if you disagree with a law, that is not... That should not be enough to incentivize you to fight against it. If you disagree with something, you shouldn't automatically oppose it.
Yeah.
If it's hurting you, then you can oppose it. But if you disagree with something just morally or politically, that is not a cause to start strongly opposing it.
Yeah.
That is not, you know, you're going to disagree. The point of America is not everyone agrees on every single law. That's never going to happen.
It was not, nothing's perfect. Yeah. So.
And you know, people are always going to be different, and laws are, there's no such thing as a perfect law. And it's not your job as an American, and it's not the politician's job as a lawmaker to make laws that everyone is going to agree on. That is not the job. That is not the role of the government. We're not working on agreement here. We're working on solving the problems that we see as a country.
To the best of our capabilities.
To the best of our capabilities.
None of us, you know, we can't really just, there is no right way. We only do, like, you know.
Right. There's not a path that if we stray from that path, like,
if there was actually one way set in stone that we all knew that was the best way, we'd only have, like, one judge for everything. We wouldn't have multiple. Right. There is no Supreme Court at that point. We don't need many opinions, you know? It's like...
Right, and some people, you know, are saying that the socialism movement, which I don't follow the socialism movement that much.
Either.
I don't really think about... The economy and the market is not something that I care about that much. Thus far, it has not affected my ability to pursue happiness in my life. I'm sure it does for some people, but for most of the people in my life, the market is not that big of a factor in terms of how
well... As of right now,
It's not that big of a factor in terms of how well they're doing in their life. If you're in poverty or something like that, then that's a different story. But for most people who are living in a well-off, they have a good job, are able to fulfill all their needs, the market is not going to be a huge factor in how happy you are, you know.
I get that.
And so I think that, you know, understanding that it's probably possible for a somewhat socialistic market structure.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, other countries do it, and they have their own way of doing it. But, you know, we're not other countries, you know.
Right, but what I'm saying is, I don't think some of the socialistic... the quote-unquote socialistic conversations and debates that have been happening, I don't think the argument should be whether or not they're socialism. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean anything. Socialism is just a concept, an idea. It's not a bad thing or a good thing. Capitalism is not a bad thing or a good thing. They're just processes in which we buy things.
Yeah.
And understanding that we're not trying to live up to capitalism as a country. We're not, our goal is not to live up to capitalism. Right.
Not fully, no.
No, our goal is to live up to those three principles of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And, you know, the job of the market economy, its role, or not a market economy, the economy in general, the role of the economy in general is to fulfill follow those needs, you know what I mean, to the best of its ability, right?
Right.
And I think that, you know, capitalism... I think a lot of the economical things that people discuss are pretty derivative. They're pretty derivative conversations. They're never really... I don't know. I'm just...
Well, like argumentative? Is that what you're saying?
It's a little bit... Derivative meaning, like, it's not really getting at the actual... The conversations themselves are not really discussing what's happening right now.
What are they more discussing?
They're a discussion between a capitalist and a socialist in America would often not be about the current policies, right? They would often be about the differences in the morality, or which morality in an economy is not a concept that we need to think about. Morality is an economy is not supposed to be moral or immoral. It's supposed to fulfill a purpose and then be done. Morality is a human thing. It's not a market
right,
thing.
Right.
So if an economy is causing people to be immoral, then it's an immoral economy. But other than, like, the economy itself is not immoral, right? And that's sort of the same thing sort of comes up with, guns shoot people, or people shoot people, not guns, which doesn't necessarily mean that we can't do anything about it, right?
What is that saying again?
So there's a saying in the anti-gun or the pro-gun rights movement,
right?
People kill people, not guns. The gun's not killing people, right?
Right.
And on TikTok comments, which are not a good example. You know what I mean? I'm not about to debate a TikTok comment, but someone said, like, that's like me saying, if I said that the gun killed the person and not me, then it's my fault that I failed that it's my pencil's fault that I failed the test. No, it's not. It's your fault that you failed the test, but your pencil allowed you to do the test, right?
It's a tool.
We're not blaming the guns. We're not blaming we're not blaming the right to own guns for these specific deaths.
Right.
You know, and we're blaming the people who had access to the guns.
Yes.
And we're looking for solutions to stopping those people.
Because obviously, how'd they do it beforehand? The tools they used to get that job done.
Right,
which is,
right.
Right.
And I think, for me, and again, I'm not super into the gun debates. I haven't, you know, the break from current political affairs for me, besides like COVID, which I've kept a good track of, I've taken a break from paying super close to attention to most of the current political affairs. But for me, with gun control and such, it's less about, I think that owning guns are wrong. I don't think that owning guns is wrong. You know what I mean?
I don't think owning guns
is wrong. I think that tends to be for people who are pro gun control.
You know, I love guns, and I think it's a great thing to have. I think it's definitely tools, just like everything else you would have in the garage at your, you know,
yeah,
yeah, your being. But you know, you're right. You know, the first step to stopping an issue is taking away the easiest accessibility or tool that's being used for that job. And in this circumstance, that is guns. And if taxing on the ammo or possibly restricting, well, I don't even know quite how they are restricting guns right now. How are they restricting guns right
Third,
now?
It's sort of taken a, again, I'm not in
duty,
super
current, oh, okay, current I guess that's
either,
right.
So I'm not quite sure where they're at of that, but I haven't heard as much. About
I'm sure,
it,
I'm just sure at
I'm
the
not,
end of the day,
I'm sure it's, yeah.
And more at the end of the day, it's probably taking more money from you and more of your time, right? And which is
probably
all going back to like how to be a, you know, capitalist is that you have to put in more time and effort to get that what you want, right?
Right.
And
so that
people don't want to do that, which they feel like is taking away their freedom, and then that goes into the debate.
Right. That's actually a really good point of saying, in this capitalist society, we're like, gun control can be a thing inside of a capitalist society, totally.
Yes.
Like, we could control guns, and it would still be considered a capitalist society,
yes,
for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
And understanding that in a capitalist society, the morals of how to get what you want from the market are putting time and effort and money into it, right? That's how a capitalist economy works.
Yep.
And so that's an interesting point. I never really thought about that.
But it all comes together well.
Right.
Which leads back to freedom and how we kind of look at it. Like, why do these people feel like their freedom's going away? Well, you go at it from how the one thing that is their pursuit of happiness, which in this case could be the one thing that's getting taken away from them most in their lives. People do, I know how people are with guns. It's like a hobby to them. It's very interesting.
Right,
just like you love something,
right.
I love it. And usually when you have something you love and you feel in a sense it's getting taken away from you, that is your pursuit of happiness.
And it's not necessarily your pursuit of happiness, but it can be misconstrued in your mind as them taking your
psychologically, pain. However you look at it, it's that feeling that it's like you're so uncomfortable with it. But I just feel like how much, what does it really come back to? Is it like how like mature you are as a person that lets you understand that like it's okay that this is happening, or is it more of a sense of like how little you know that it's a bit for a bigger cause? You know, what's the real issue of why you feel that way? Because obviously it's negative, but why do you feel so negative about it?
I think for, you know, for people who, I want to go back to I'll get back to it in a sec, but I want to go back to a point that I want to make a little bit ago. Where for me, in terms of my perspective on guns, is that people are dying. People are getting killed with guns in America.
Yeah, no joke.
And if people who are gun rights activists genuinely believe that restricting guns is not going to stop those deaths, then let's test it out. You know what I mean? If let's test out solutions, and if they don't work, we'll stop them. You know what I mean? We're not restricting guns just to restrict guns. We're doing it for a solution, and if it doesn't fulfill that solution, we don't care. You know what I mean? You can buy guns. If buying guns, you know, doesn't cause, if it turns out that somehow, not somehow, if we let's say we restrict guns and you can only buy like hand pistols and all, beside any gun that's not a hunting or a hand pistol or for like self protection, any gun that doesn't fall under that is restricted, right?
Right.
Let's say we do that and people, just as many people are getting killed. Just as many school shootings are happening. Let's say that happens.
Then what you did was pointless.
Right, and so they would reverse it.
Because then it didn't fix the issue, so you change it.
Right, and so that's...
Process of elimination.
Process of elimination. Right, so in terms of the gun rights issue, I think the anti-gun rights side tends to be less of an anti-gun rights side and more of a, we're trying to solve the problem of people getting killed with guns in America.
And this is the first step to that. Even though it may not be the first final, it could be. And that's the whole point. We're just trying to find the right solution.
Right.
We need the first possibly fail until we get to the right idea. So it's all about just like the more people restrict and the more people that protest and the more people that go against the one cause, I feel like that could be the case possibly, that they don't see the bigger issue of what it's trying to stop. And the more you try to like go against what's already happening, is the slower the process can get to the final ending, which is the ending of that would be that we stop killing, we stop mass shootings.
Right. Understanding that we can't, like, just because you want to own guns doesn't restrict us as a country from trying to stop this problem.
And they don't understand that it could be temporary. They feel like this is the final decision, which could be
right. And this is this. I'm not like poking it at gun owners in general right now.
But you know, it's kind of like when you look at it, you know, not just like on paper, you just kind of start to like actually think about it more thoroughly. It starts to come together very nicely of like how, you know, usually when people do something, it's for a reason. We're just trying to understand that. That's all we're trying to do.
We're not trying to poke. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that, you know, I'm totally fine with people owning guns. I don't really care. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we said straight
up. We said that straight up. I don't really care. I don't really have that strong of an opinion on what rules we need to change. I don't know. You know what I mean?
We didn't start this debate for that purpose.
Right. But I think being open to understanding that understanding that there's a reason to rule changes and being open to how those rule changes are going to affect you, regardless of whether it affects you negatively or positively, being open to that as opposed to originally disagreeing with it, so then you're going to disagree with it forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of, because you're going to disagree with stuff in this country. It's not the country's job for you to agree with them.
That's fine. Like, people have the right to disagree. That's perfectly plausible.
Right.
But again, we're all just trying to do this for like the bigger purpose of what it is. And in that case would be the school shootings. And obviously anybody in that moment would be like, yes, that's wrong. But for the reasons we have below, we see the plan of fixing that differently than others. And sometimes people, and I could always be wrong, but sometimes I feel like people just don't want to, they feel like life is so temporary, what's the point of even trying to fix things in a lifetime for them, but never think about the people before that are kind of come in the future.
I don't know if that's necessarily the process of their thinking. I think that can sort of be a mentality.
It's just how considerate
a little
you
bit,
are.
But I think it's more of understanding, you know, there's a lot of bad things that happen in the world, right?
Yeah, you can't fix every single one of them.
And you can't. But understanding the ones that you can fix and understanding the problems that are there and understanding that there are causes to problems, right? There are causes to problems.
Yep.
Right. And as a country, you know, in general, unless they're doing the wrong thing, but if the country's doing the right thing, all they're doing is trying to solve those problems to make those bad things go away.
We hope they're doing the right
thing. We hope
they're doing what they think is the right thing.
Right. And so if you disagree with a law, there's nothing wrong with that. But before you start, I don't know, posting about it, and this is, I'm completely separating from the gun thing. I don't give a shit about the gun laws. But for any law in general, or really, really anything, before, if a law changes or something happens in the country, before you, this is what I would encourage you to do. Before you go posting on it, and before you, you know, start thinking about it in your head and getting super mad about it and just thinking all these angry thoughts about what's wrong with what they're doing.
Yeah.
Think about it from the, before you do that, you know, I'm not saying you can't do that. I don't care. You know, it doesn't affect me.
But impulsive behavior, obviously.
Right, but I think understanding that, at least from a government perspective, understanding that the rules that they're following are under the ideals of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And if before you freak out about a law change, you know, compare it to those ideals.
Right.
And see how much of a change it actually is, and get a good idea of the full context of the law and not just the way the law affects you, right?
No, absolutely. Like, think about the purpose and not just how it, like, affects you. I get that.
Right. And so I think that is, and it really just comes back to openness.
And that's why I like being open-minded. I think it's so difficult to live a life without being open-minded, because, you know, truly, closed-minded's good when you have a determination and a goal, but for this sense,
well,
it's,
I mean,
like,
closed-mindedness is, it's different than, if you have a determination and a goal, that's not closed-mindedness, that's commitment.
Okay, well, yeah, commitment. It can apply differently. But my whole point is that, like, it goes back to your point about being able to understand the purpose of a law like this, and how actually opening yourself up, and even possibly if it is anger or impulsive behavior that's at you in the moment before making that possible tweet that you're talking about, it's very constructive to really think about what the bigger picture is for this. Because
right,
you never know how this purpose or this cause or this whatever could be pushing towards a bigger goal. And that's the whole point of this.
Right.
And people, I feel like, just don't see that. They don't think about it enough. They're just in the moment too much.
Right. And when I first started do you remember that time where I had a phase where I was super, super into psychedelics for some reason?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'm not mad at myself for that phase. I learned a lot.
I don't think there's anything wrong. I thought you were still in that phase.
No, yeah, I mean, I'm not like studying it as much anymore. But, you know, I'm still interested in it. And I mentioned how I think a 35% increase in openness, with quantifiable openness, right?
Right.
They're not just saying that, oh, I feel like I talked to them and they seemed more open. No, like quantifiable, testable, statistical openness increases with psychedelics. And that was what was really cool about it, was that that's how you can start to change your life, is to open yourself up to it.
Yeah, be curious.
Yeah, exactly. And just, you know,
to be more hungry for things, not be so content with, like, you know.
Well, I think hunger and contentment, I think you can be open and be completely content. I think you should not be content to, you should be content with where your life is, you know what I mean? But with your, with, like,
in time, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that contentment is a part of openness. I think that that's an important thing, is being content with where you're at, so that you can fully open yourself to where, like, if you have problems with where you're at right now, then you're not going to open yourself up to it, you know what I mean?
Not where I was going off it, but that's a good point.
And I think that, you know, obviously you can work to change the things that are wrong in your life while being content. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The contentment is sort of, because no one's going to have a perfect life, right? So my definition of contentment would be the ability to, you know, feel stable and secure and okay with the stuff that's going wrong in your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And with the stuff that you can't control. Just being content.
Whatever is your pursuit of happiness, right?
Right, right. And so I think that is my biggest political takeaway, is introducing this openness to understand how freedom in America works and what freedom means for the government of America. That's is important when looking at these laws that quote-unquote limit your freedoms.
No, right? Exactly.
Understanding how freedom works in America.
Yeah, that was the whole point of this. So I think conversation was just trying to being more open and being more aware of the meaning of these laws, and well, how to react when they come to you.
Right, and being open to the effects of the laws.
Yeah, and how it affects your quote-unquote pursuit of happiness. Even though, is it really affecting pursuit of happiness? Well, we already touched about that. But
yeah, and that's just a question. That's a genuine question. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, it can be a genuine question, mm-hmm. and you should be in touch with yourself and say, hey, you know, and obviously it's not that, I'm not, it's more important to be in touch with yourself about things you can control, obviously, and understanding how that's affecting you. But, you know, if you have political power and you feel restricted and you feel and you genuinely feel and you understand and you think and you've thought through it and you realize that it's limiting your ability to pursue happiness, use those political powers that you have. Okay. That's why they're there. But don't choose discontentment because of a law that you can't control. Don't choose discontentment because of something you can't control is probably the moral of this episode, I think.
I think it's a good moral, too.
Yeah, I think it's good. It sums things up well. So, hopefully that wasn't too controversial for some of you. I'm sure I'll have some interesting conversations about this episode in the future with some of you guys. Haven't posted in a while. Don't know when I'm going to post this. We'll see. Maybe I'll wait for the political environment to clear up a little bit. I don't know. Whenever I get to it, I'll post it. If you have any questions or responses, most of you probably have a way to contact me. So yeah, just feel free to. I'm interested in your reactions. So yeah. Anyways, peace, Sean Luke. Any last words?
Peace out, homies.